You're listening to DraftKings Network.
You're tuned in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, guiding your gridiron journey, none other than your host, former NFL lineman, Ross Tucker.
Oh, yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It's a teaching tutorial Thursday, which means class is in session with Professor Greg Cosell, NFL Films University. We are presented by DraftKings. Man, I love those guys just as much as I love you guys. Make sure you use the code Ross when you make any wager over at DraftKings Sportsbook. Then you get the codes, whether it's for the NBA playoffs or it's for hockey or obviously the NFL draft. Being a week away, we talked a lot on the Even Money Betting Podcast about some of the props you should be looking at. Still a bunch of states out there where you can bet on the NFL draft on the DK Sportsbook, and still a very, very profitable venture for a lot of people. Just make sure you're using the code Ross. You can check us out on social media. I'm at Ross Tucker NFL, every platform. And really, if you interact with me or at Ross Tucker Pod, you have a great chance to get a signed autograph every single week as the Spread the Word winner. And then the sponsor confirmation email winner, you're taking advantage of any of the sponsors that you hear on the show, like Good Ranchers, or you just send me a picture of you drinking a Labatt Blue, which I love. And then we're always on YouTube. More and more people watch the show, especially the Greg Cosell episodes, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. It's big show time.
The big show.
Okay, Greg, I want to get into the linebackers today. We'll do linebackers today, and then we'll do D-line next week. But if it's okay, hopefully we'll get you earlier in the week because I don't want to wait till Thursday and then the draft's that night. So probably have you on Wednesday next week to have plenty of time for people to digest the episode before the draft on Thursday night. You know, not a lot of news this week, Greg. I guess I always like asking about some of the guys because it's a learning lesson. So J.K. Dobbins signed with the Chargers yesterday. We know he's had kind of a horrific injury history here in the NFL. I guess I'm curious if he is healthy, when he is healthy, what is he? And do you think he's a really good back, Greg, or do you think he really benefited greatly from sort of the Ravens system and Lamar Jackson?
Well, there's no question any back would benefit from that because of that Greg Roman system, that's the system in which he played because obviously he did not play this past year under Todd Monken. That benefits any back, and having Lamar as being a featured part of the run game really helps. But Dobbins is a big guy. He's got very good traits. We just don't know what he is at this point because of the unfortunate nature of just too many injuries. But, you know, he's physical. He had really good speed coming out of Ohio State. Obviously, Harbaugh in with the Chargers wants to run the football, so he's looking for backs. I think that's going to be his starting approach, just as it was in college. That's the way he sees the game. So there's nothing wrong with taking a flyer on a guy that has really good traits if he can get back to being that guy, which no one really knows. I mean, you get the medical reports, and I'm sure they say he's okay, but you just never know when a guy misses so much time and has so many injuries that have built up.
Two other guys I wanted to ask you about, veterans that both signed extensions this week, because I think it's instructive as we head into the draft. One is the Eagles receiver, DeVonta Smith. I think it's so interesting, Greg.
Yeah.
There were a lot of concerns about his frame and how slender he was coming into the NFL. I want to say he's maybe missed one game. He's been tremendous for 3 years. And I'm not saying it relates to a guy we talked last week about in Andrew Wiggins, but do we overrate thickness sometimes and weight, especially when talking about guys on the perimeter like receivers and corner? Because, you know, I think that's one reason why DeVonta Smith wasn't the top 10 pick. You know, there were guys, Chase went ahead of him, Jaylen Waddle went ahead. I mean, these guys went 4 and 5 picks ahead of him. Do we overweight that a little bit? Is there a lesson? Is there a draft lesson from DeVonta Smith, Greg?
Well, First of all, I think he's a terrific receiver, and I love the way he runs routes. I love the nuance and detail with which he plays. He's shown the ability to make contested catches, which, you know, don't forget his weight was a legitimate question. Just because he's played, in a sense, beyond that and become a really good receiver doesn't mean that it was not discussed in war rooms in the National Football League. But I think the game has changed a little bit, Ross, the NFL game. First of all, you can't be as physical as a corner. Number two, with a lot more motion, a lot more stacks, a lot more bunch, all these kinds of things impact the ability to play physically against receivers. It's much harder to press them. Okay, so it's just, and there's so much more formation variation now with offenses, lining receivers up in different spots. So the way the game has evolved, the idea of receivers weighing less, I think, is not as important. Look at Jordan Addison, a first-round pick a year ago for the Vikings, 173 pounds. Looks like he'll be a really good NFL receiver as well. So, you know, again, does everybody want guys who are 6'3", 210, who run fast? Of course they do. But, you know, I think, look at Tank Dell. You know, there's more guys who are going to be smaller guys that weigh less that become factors in the NFL as receivers due to the changing nature of the game.
And then the other guy I wanted to ask you about, I think is interesting, DeForest Buckner, who got yet another big contract from the Colts. I think what's interesting to me about him, Greg, is there just aren't a lot of guys like him.
They
just don't, like, there's nobody like him this year. Like, you know, I went against guys like that. I remember my second start ever, Greg, was for the Dallas Cowboys against Jacksonville in 2002. And I came out of the huddle for the first play.
Was that John Henderson?
John Henderson and Marcus Stroud.
We were both 6'6 or so, right? Yeah.
Henderson was almost 6'8.
Yeah.
Stroud was 6'6. They had crazy long arms. I came out of the huddle, Greg. I looked at those guys, and they were wearing those dark uniforms, and they were so big, and their arms were so long, and in that like Texas stadium, you know how like the sun's on it.
Yeah.
I remember they looked like condors or something. I mean, I remember thinking, we are not the same species. Like, there is no way it should be my job to stop those guys from doing anything. We're not the same thing. By the way, I was player of the game and had double-digit knockdowns, Greg, because I just cut the crap out of them because they were both young and they were both so tall that they didn't do a very good job protecting their legs. So they would come running off the ball so fast because it was like their rookie year and second year, and I would just cut them, and they would go down a bunch in the game. Right. They were not happy about it. It's funny because the Jacksonville coach I talked to later, who had watched the tape, he said, yeah, Henderson's just young and Stroud's just stubborn, you know, or something
about
that. But anyway,
Buckner's
really awesome. They just don't make him. I mean, how many years is there like a 6'8", 300-pound guy it just doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, and when we get to D-tackles next week, there'll be a lot of them in this year's draft who are shorter guys, stout guys, and there are more of those guys in the league. They play lower to the ground, but Buckner is kind of a freaky guy because of his size. And, you know, you don't hear his name a lot when you say, who are the great D-tackles in the league, okay? Buckner's name doesn't come up very often, but he's right there, and he's been doing it now for a long time.
Let's dive into the linebackers. I'm not even going to ask you the question about position importance. We talk about it every year. I'm not doing it. You know, if you want to hear that, go back to last year and the year before that. All of our shows are archived, you know, on podcast, youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. But let's talk about off the ball linebackers. And, you know, it's not an important position until you're getting smoked at that position. Then it's an important position.
Well, position is important until you don't have anybody good playing the position.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Yeah. So some of the guys that you hear a lot about, Junior Colson from Michigan, Peyton Wilson, NC State, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Clemson. Was there a guy that – I always like to ask you this, Greg. Was there a guy that jumped out to you that you really liked and really thought was impressive?
Again, I know I say this every week, but they're different. I mean, you're talking about Wilson at 6'4 plus. You're talking about Colson, who's built perfectly for an off-the-ball stack backer at 6'2, 238. You're talking about Trotter, who's 6 feet. And my guess is there'll be some teams, because of the critical factors element, that's what teams do. They assign critical factors to each position, and they don't usually draft exceptions. But Jeremiah Trotter's tape is really good. He was a fun watch. He's such a smart, savvy, aware player, sees things immediately. He's one of those guys, the term we always use is key and diagnose. He sees it. He attacks. He's a really good blitzer. He's just 6 feet, 228. That's going to be seen as small. Some teams will say, you know what? Not for me. But his tape is really good. And we know who his dad is. I remember his dad sitting with me here in my office at NFL Films watching tape when he retired. And I guarantee he's imparted a lot of wisdom to his son. And then you have Peyton Wilson, who's over 6'4", okay? I met Peyton Wilson at the Maxwell Dinner in Atlanta this year. I mean, he looks thin. He's 6'4", 233, 234. But, man, he has a waist that I would love to have, Ross, you know? He's an explosive mover. He's long. He's athletic. He's got really good speed. He's a sideline-to-sideline player. At North Carolina State, he played everywhere, but he's going to be a stack backer. I talked to him about that. Teams see him as a stack backer. He's a really intriguing player because he brings length and speed. And, you know, as you said, we're not going to talk about the importance or lack thereof, depending on what people think. But I'll tell you one thing. When your linebackers are fast, your defense looks fast. Think about the Ravens with Queen and Smith. Queen's obviously not there anymore. But when your linebackers are fast, your defense looks fast. And Wilson can run. And then Junior Colson, to me, is just a really, really solid prospect. Like, I don't see him as an impact playmaker type, Ross. But, you know, he reminds me of, I'm going to give you three names. And, again, these just popped into my head when I was watching Colson. He's like a Jordan Hicks or Jermaine Pratt or Zaire Franklin, just really solid players who are going to make a lot of tackles. You might not call them impact playmakers, game changers, but I always feel like every team needs those kinds of players.
Well, I mean, there's a reason why those guys have all gotten contracts, right?
And Jordan Hicks has been in the league, what, 10, 11 years now? And, you know, Zaire Franklin makes a ton of tackles, you know. You agree with me, though. You wouldn't say any one of those guys is an impact, game-changing playmaker, but they're just really good players.
1,000%. And it's interesting because the Eagles, people talk a lot about the Eagles and linebackers. They would have been happy to have Jordan Hicks the last 5 years.
Oh, without question.
They would have been happy to still have TJ Edwards last year. You know, they're considered just solid players until they go somewhere else and you have guys that are less than solid. And then you're like, oh, no, they were actually good.
Well, you know, it's funny because the draft is different from when you talk to defensive coaches. I remember when Steve Spagnuolo, the year he took off, and he was in my office almost every Monday watching tape to stay close to the game, and I got to know Spags really well, and we would have great conversations about different positions on defense. And the one thing, this is the way coaches think, which is different than fans, draft gurus, whatever you want to call whatever we do. And he said, you know, the thing is, if you don't have good players at certain positions, it limits your playbook. And I don't think people think like that, but coaches do, you know, because they can't do certain things if they don't feel that the player at a given position is not good enough to be able to do those things. And that changes the way they go about game planning, putting together their defense, calling a game. So, you know, it's easy to say a position is not important until you don't have a good guy there.
It's such a good point, Greg. You know another good point? Labatt Blue is delicious. I love it. I can't wait for A, this weekend, and B, a week from the night, NFL draft. I think I'll be working, but if I'm not, I'll be drinking some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and living life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly beer. Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. What about, Greg, any of these other guys that are on the board, like a Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M?
Well, let's talk Cooper. He's the most explosive stack backer in this draft class. I mean, this guy is a dynamic mover. He has playmaking traits. He's going to have to play more physically at the NFL level. He's not sort of a take-on, stack-and-shed guy, which leads me to believe he'll start his career in sub-defenses. But this guy is explosive. He's a dynamic blitzer. There's no question, just in terms of sheer athletic movement and twitch and suddenness, that he is the number one guy at the stack backer position in this draft class, which, again, doesn't mean he's going to be the best player the second he walks in, you know, day one in the league. But this guy is dynamic, and he will play early, but I think it'll be in sub-defenses.
You know what I think, Greg, that we don't talk enough about, especially at off-the-ball linebacker and at safety? I feel like those positions are such thinking, football intelligence, instinct positions. And I feel like we talk a lot about explosiveness. And look, that's a to me, that's really a nice to have. But I think of so many guys, like a TJ Edwards or whoever,
yeah,
that, you know, don't have outstanding physical ability, but it seems like they're always a step ahead of everybody else out there. And then, because Greg, there's a lot of guys that ran fast at the combine and can jump and all that stuff, and it doesn't work out for them in the NFL playing line. I mean, think about Davion Taylor with the Eagles, right?
Jamin Davis from Washington, 6'3", 235, phenomenal athlete. But to this day, after, 3 years in the league, maybe 4, somewhere around there, it just hasn't clicked. Kenneth Murray, who just signed with the Titans this offseason, better athlete, same draft as Patrick Queen, better athlete than Queen. Didn't quite work out for him so far. I agree with you 100%. You know, the key diagnose element, the ability to see it, is so important. Then when you have a guy who's a great athlete and is high-level key diagnose, then you got Luke Kuechly.
Right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. To have like a, you know, and I would say this, I'd rather have a lesser athlete who can key and diagnose than a better athlete who can't.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah.
Well, that's TJ Edwards.
Right. That guy can play. I think you have a tough time playing with a guy that can't key and diagnose. And that just because, you know, the other thing we don't talk about enough too, Greg? These guys are the green dots. These guys are the leaders. These are the guys that are at the front of the huddle. And I'm not saying that you have to have a good player there, but I will say, I think it helps if the guy talking to the rest of the defense every play is a good player that is respected and has leadership skills, as opposed to just some guy.
No, I agree. I mean, that's why, you know, I mentioned Cooper. You know, he's dynamic, explosive. I think it'll take him a little time. But then there's other guys, you know, like I would bet Jeremiah Trotter. And again, I don't know who's going to draft him. You know, there's so many variables, as we know. But it would not surprise me if Jeremiah Trotter becomes a starting linebacker and is a solid player. You know, Nick Bolton was a second round pick. You know, he's under 6 feet. There's a linebacker from Michigan who played with Colson named Michael Barrett. Just under 6 feet, very similar measurables. Some athletic testing measurables were better than Nick Bolton's. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say he's Nick Bolton. You never know that. But I mean, watching him, I thought, you know, this guy can play in the league, and it wouldn't surprise me if somewhere along the line he starts, depending on the team and depending on deployment. You know, there's so many factors. But I think your point's a really good one. You know, you want that guy. He has to be able to see things, understand formations. Look, I remember, as I said, I sat here with Jeremiah Trotter years ago, the dad, and as soon as tape came up, he would immediately say, oh, the back is 7 yards here. The tight end is here. I mean, he just saw things instantaneously.
Yeah, a couple thoughts, Greg. Number one, played with and against Trotter. They don't make him like that guy anymore.
No.
I mean, he was all of 260, 265, Greg, with an enormous lower body, very powerful, and he really would rather run into the offensive lineman than avoid him. And it's funny because you and I were talking off air about power and how important it is when there's a linebacker that has that kind of power, they can make you miss easily because you know that they want to come downhill and jack you up. So if they make a move ever, you're like, oh crap, you weren't expecting that. And that was Trotter. It's interesting to me that his son, you know, is 30 pounds lighter. I think that's probably a product of sort of what the game's like now. He's probably not trying to get bigger. You know, he's probably trying.
No, he's only 6 feet. He's not going to be 250. I mean, he's right. 6 feet, 228. He's a really good player, the son. I mean, he's
so.
I really
my question on the height, whether it's Michael Barrett at Michigan or Trotter Jr., is it the height and weight, right? Being 230 or whatever, is it the size to get off of blocks? Is it the height to run with a tight end? Like, for a linebacker, in your opinion, Greg, where's the biggest concern there with the size?
Well, I think there's a physicality element when you're smaller, and I think your point about being able to play man coverage, you do get a little bit limited because they have to play backs as opposed to tight ends. So that does limit you to some degree with what you can do on the defensive side of the ball. It's not likely Jeremiah Trotter, as much as I liked his tape and I think he's a really good football player, is going to match up man-to-man to quality tight ends in the NFL. But I'll give you an example. I think Trotter, and they're similar in size, I think Trotter is a better prospect coming out than N'Kobe Dean was when he came out of Georgia. And they're similar in terms of height and weight.
Check him out on social media, at Greg Cosell. He is the man. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Ross.
Man, I don't know about you, Greg, but I am tired of my favorite cut of beef or chicken. Seems like it costs more and weighs less every time we've ever gotten it at the grocery store. That's why I'm all about Good Ranchers now and their price lock guarantee. The only price lock on the 100% American meat you can find. You do not want to miss it. During their April Price Shield campaign, Good Ranchers is locking in your price until 2026 when you subscribe to any one of their boxes full of 100% American meat and seafood that they ship right to your door. Awesome. Beef, chicken, pork, wild-caught seafood. Plus, I got you guys an extra 10% off your subscription with code Ross at goodranchers.com today. Absolutely love the transparency. You know exactly what you're getting. Use the code Ross, goodranchers.com.
Tux Takes.
All right, Ross, here's some transactions of note. The Chargers, they signed former Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins. Miami Dolphins GM Chris Greer announced that the team will pick up the fifth-year option for both Jalen's, Jalen Waddle and Jalen Phillips. Niners, they sign wide receiver, punt returner Trent Taylor. And the Cowboys, they bring in running back Royce Freeman.
So for J.K. Dobbins, I just hope he's healthy, and I hope he stays healthy. He wanted a new contract. He didn't get it, and he showed why he wanted a new contract, because you're always a play away from potentially having a career-altering or career-ending injury. That's what the players are aware of. We'll have a lot more conversation about fifth-year options being picked up, Jack, next week, or actually probably 2 weeks from now. Most teams wait till after the draft, see how the draft unfolds. The thought process is, why pick it up until you have to? What if something happens with the guy, right? And then for those signings you mentioned, the Cowboys signing Royce Freeman. I mean, the Cowboys are absolutely telegraphing that they're taking a running back in one of the first three rounds. And so I don't think that's a good way to enter the draft. I'll probably write about it for my column at the 33rd team next week.
And do you have any thoughts on that story from Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta about Bill Belichick not being able to find a job?
I do. First of all, I think Andrew's having them on the Business of Sports this week, right?
That is correct. That is the hopeful plan. I don't want to jinx it, but yes, they should be on today.
Wow, that would be awesome. I'll definitely listen to that. Those guys have some real, real sources. It's like they spend their whole year having NFL ownership level sources. It's a very interesting read. I think, you know, it's a lot of sources of a source. It's like a friend of Belichick's told this other person this, who told me that. I didn't even know you were allowed to do that. You're allowed to do secondhand sources like that? I mean, the net result is Not surprising. You know, I think that Belichick is not for everyone. And, you know, a lot of people in life don't want to work with someone that's not fun to work with. You know, can you imagine being a multi-billionaire? Do you really want to work with a guy that a lot of people think is kind of a jerk in terms of how he handles himself? Like, I wouldn't. Hey, my only rule, if I'm a multi-billionaire, I'm not hiring anybody that I think is a jerk or I don't want to work with. That's my rule. And I get everything else that's out there about him. And I know how much success he's had. But I kind of don't blame the owners that don't want to have to deal with that on a day-to-day basis. I think we're done here.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also check out Even Money, Fantasy Feast, and College Draft, all on the DraftKings Network on Samsung TV Plus, YouTube, or subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform.
Shout out MyFrontPageStory.com. Man, Mother's Day will be here before you know it. You guys know how passionate I am about this business that I'm heavily involved in. MyFrontPageStory.com. If there's a better Mother's Day gift, or for that matter, anniversary gift, birthday gift, I'm not aware of it. BackOfficeScheduler.com, SteakhouseSports.com, HumanHeadNYC.com, Sporticulture, Pizza Boy Brewing.